If you have your Bibles and would like to read along, we'll be reading from 1 Peter in the first chapter, the 6th and 7th verses, which says, "Wherein ye greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, ye are in heaviness through manifold temptations, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ." That is 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 6 and 7. I want to talk about the trying of our faith. And Peter here mentions that it is much more precious than gold. Sometimes it's hard for us to see the value in our trials and troubles of this life. And when we are experiencing those things, seems to be the most difficult time. We can look back in hindsight, and those things are more clear to us. But at the times of the trials, we wonder sometimes what benefit they are in our lives or to the things of God. I would like to, and it come to mind this week as I was studying this, there was a man by the name of Thomas Paine. And this was before and during the Revolutionary War. He had a pamphlet, or written pamphlets, which was called Common Sense. And Thomas Paine probably had as much to do with the beginning of the American Revolution as anyone else did. Even those that were fighting the battle, he was fighting that battle with his pen and ink. And he said, a statement written by him, "These are the times that try men's souls." We are living in unprecedented times. We are living in a time that none of us living today can relate to anything else that we have experienced. We're living in a time that hasn't touched the whole world since World War II. We're living in a time which there are a lot of unknowns. We're living in a time that it is not yet clear what the end shall be of this, as far as the duration or the intensity of what is going on. But definitely these are the times that try men's souls. It reminds us of how fragile life is. It appeared that even a month ago, that we were in one of the greatest economic times, and rightly we were at the time as a country. And it appeared that it was just going to grow and grow and go on forever. But it's amazing to me that something so small, almost invisible virus, can bring the whole world to its knees. What that tells me is that life is fragile, and everything about life is, as we mentioned the other Sunday, mostly unknown. There are no unknowns about this world. But the one thing that we do know is, if we are a child of God, that we've been saved by God's grace. We do know that we have eternal hope in heaven. We do know that our Redeemer liveth and that He is in control of everything. Now, how do we as children of God react to this virus that is upon us? Now, our trials for the purpose of God knowing how that we will react. That is not truly the main purpose of the trials in our life, for we know that God knows everything. He knows how that we were going to react in times of stress and trials and troubles in our life. But the one purpose, or the two purposes of trials that I would like to focus upon today, is that we may understand ourselves what we truly are. Now, We may think that we know how they will react in certain circumstances, in certain trials in our life, but we truly do not know how that we are going to react to those trials come upon us. We need to understand what we are, and not only do we need to understand our strengths, as is talked about more than our weaknesses, we need to understand our weaknesses in our life. We need to understand just how fragile we are and how apt we are to do things that we probably shouldn't do. Not only should we understand or to learn more about ourselves, that the world may see us in these trials and temptations during these very difficult times, and that they may see Christ in us, that they may see that our faith is being tested. The whole world now is reacting in fear, but we are not of this world, and we do have a hope that this world does not have. We do have a help that this world does not have, and that help is and comes in and through Jesus Christ. The Christians of this world must not surrender to that fear. Now, it says in Isaiah 41 and 10, "Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee, yea, I will help thee." Now, he was encouraging those back in the Old Testament days, as the New Testament as well. And I mentioned a few Sundays ago how many times that fear not is mentioned in the Word of God. And we can find that it's at least 70 or 80 times. It is the most pronounced. It is the most repeated command that the Lord gives us in His Word is to fear not. It says in 2 Timothy 1 and 7, "For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind." Now, what that's saying is that the spirit He gave us, we don't have to fear. We choose to fear because we don't lean upon the Lord. We choose to fear because we don't put our trust in Him. We choose to fear. It is not what God has given us. It says He has given us the spirit of power and of a sound mind. Now, faith is an antidote to fear. Faith is an antidote to worry. The world needs to see our faith in God, and what a wonderful tool it is. No matter how disturbing what is going on today with this virus is, they need to see a people of this world that is not fearful and afraid. Your neighbors need to see that. Your family needs to see that. Your lost loved ones need to see that, that you have faith in God. That no matter what happens in your life, no matter what is going on around you, that you are holding on to your faith in the Lord, and that you are not wavering in that faith, no matter what is befalling you at this time. No matter that you need to know, they especially need to see that in your life. They need to see a selflessness. That is being tried as well. Are you focusing upon yourself? Every time that we focus upon ourselves, it can come to no good. Every time that we focus upon our own lives too much, it can come to no good. What we need to be doing now is we need to be selfless in our focus. We need to be praying for those that know not the Lord. We need to be showing them that we have faith in God. We need to be showing them that we trust God. And we need to be helping others in every way that we can. And they need to see selflessness in God's people. In 1 John 3 and 17, it says, "If anyone has material possessions and sees a sister or a brother in need, but has no pity on him, how can the love of God be in that person? What the world needs to see is they need to see the love of God, and the love of God is emulated through our own lives. They need to see the love of God about us. They need to see compassion. They need to see empathy. They need to see the love of God that flows through us and out to this fearful world that we are living in today. And those that are in need, we need to help them. And if you have the material needs yourself and possessions you see a brother or sister in need, then you need to help them. That is your responsibility. If God has blessed you with a great material wealth, then it is your responsibility to use that for the honor and glory of God. There's nothing wrong with being wealthy. There's nothing wrong with having material possessions. And if God has blessed you with those things, the way that you can honor and glorify God is to give it to others and to help others that are not as fortunate as you are, that has needs that they can't meet themselves. So therefore, you are showing forth the love of God toward them. We have the opportunity, as our Lord mentioned, to be the salt and light of the world. Now, you can light a candle at noonday with the sun shining, and it goes unnoticed. You don't notice the candle because of all of the light that is flooding in the room and all of the brightness that is of a noonday sun. But at night, when things grow dark, and when the moon seems to be hiding and the sky is cloudy and it's a very, very dark night, that same candle can, as being lit, illuminate the whole room. And that is the focus of all that are in that room, is the one little light that is shining. This seems to be very dark times, but that being said, it is a great opportunity for us to let our light shine to the world. They are looking for consolation. They are looking for hope. They are looking for something to ease their fears. And the one thing that we do have is we know one that can do all of those things. The one that we have initially put our trust and faith in is our Lord Jesus Christ. We know that even in all sorts of fearful times and situations, that we can be calm. You remember when Jesus was there in the ship and his disciples were with him, and the storm came and the winds blew upon the ship and it was tossed, and even some of them that were seasoned fishermen were very fearful and afraid. So it must have been a terrible, terrible storm. So they woke him up, and they said, "Care us not that we perish?" He says, "Oh, ye of little faith." What he was saying was, though the storms were raging and the wind was boisterous and they were fearing for their lives, they should have had faith in God, and we need to, if we can at all, show that to the world. And it's wonderful to show that to ourselves. It's enabling when we can put our faith and trust in God, and when we can endure the storm, and everything is all right. And then Jesus came to up on the ship, and he said, "Peace be still," and everything was calm, and there was a stillness about them that was overwhelming. So it is and can be, no matter the storm, if Jesus is working in us. The greatest testimony of Christ's love is Christians who love the world the way that Christ does. They relate to the love of God, and they relate to God's people that have that love abiding in their heart and showing that, and how that is emulating from them. No matter not just in word, not just in action, but their whole life shows forth a confidence in God and a love for them, the selflessness that I talked about earlier, and what a wonderful and great testimony that is. You say, well, I can't do all those things if I'm shut in alone, and I do understand that. You're around probably very few people right now, but there is one grand thing that we can do in that situation is to pray. And as I mentioned earlier in our preliminaries, it is a wonderful opportunity that we have that we are being forced to slow down. We are being forced to look inward. We are being forced to look to the Lord. And it's a wonderful opportunity to pray to God. Whether your grandchildren are lost or our loved ones and friends or they're in trouble, pray. That is one thing that nothing in this world can separate us from prayer with God. There is nothing of this world that can keep us from praying. And that is a great opportunity. It strengthens our faith. I know that it does mine. And then we can make our petitions be made known unto God. We can pray for healing. That is taught in the scriptures. Let's pray for that now. Let's pray for strength. Let's pray that the Lord would give us a greater measure of faith. That is prayed for in the scriptures. Let's pray for the lost that we hold dear in our hearts. Let's pray for them that they would soon be saved and to know and have that confidence that we can have in our own hearts. And as I said earlier, it's troubling that we can't meet with them at this present time at church and continually tell them the good news of Jesus Christ. But we can personally, those that are in your life, we can talk with them and urge them and let them know that. And this is the grand example that this world is very unstable. Our lives are very unknown. That they need to look to the one that knows everything, and they need to look to the one that can deliver them from all troubles and trials and give unto them eternal life. We need to trust in the Lord with all of our hearts at this time. And as the scripture saying, lean not unto our own understanding. We don't need to be looking around us continually. Every time that I start looking around us, as Peter did when he was walking on water, I get in trouble. Every time that I start looking at the things around us that are very unsettling, and the storms about us in our lives, and this could be considered one of those, then my week gets very weak. But when I look up, as the psalmist said, I will look up into the hills which cometh my help. My help comes from the Lord. That is when I can gain strength. That is when I can gain the confidence. And that is when I have more peace in my heart. That is when I am more content, no matter what the situation is or is going on in my life. Some very comforting words we find in Isaiah in the 40th chapter, in the 28th verse. Hast thou not known, hast thou not heard, that the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary. There is no searching for his understanding. He giveth power to the faint, and to them that have no might he increaseth strength. Even the youths shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint. They had expended all of their efforts. Maybe you've done everything that you can possibly do. And that is usually when we look to the Lord. when we get, as the saying goes, to the end of our rope. That's a good place to be, because that is when we truly get earnest in seeking the Lord's help. That is when we truly get earnest in seeking help from God and not relying upon this world and not relying upon the shifting sands of it, but relying upon He that has set our feet upon a rock, as the Word of God teaches, and established our going. I pray that this will be short-lived. I pray that we can soon be back here at Old Union, worshiping the Lord together. That is my prayer. I encourage you to pray for that as well. We don't need to be separated like this. I know that is necessary at this time. We don't have any options, but I pray that this would soon pass, that we can come back together in the house of the Lord, and we can worship Him, and we can worship the Lord in spirit and in truth together. May the Lord watch over you this week and keep you from harm. May He protect you. May He guide you. May He hold you in the palm of His hand. Thank you very much. I pray that you have a wonderful, wonderful week. Amen.